Well, thank you very much for everyone coming here today. I'm very pleased to be with all of you to make a very important announcement, which is all about safety. Before I do that, though, I would like to take this opportunity to acknowledge those of us who have gathered with me here today to participate in this announcement. Very pleased to have a representation from a number of a couple different police forces. We've got Del Manick from the Victoria Police Department, the Deputy Chief. We've got John Price from the Saanich Police Department. Really pleased to have Cole Delisle here from the Commercial Vehicle Safety and Enforcement Branch. We have the Passenger Transportation Board Chair, Don Zarowski, as well as the Passenger Transportation Registrar, Kristen Vanderkip. I'm also pleased to welcome a couple of colleagues, my parliamentary secretary, Jordan Sturdy. He's the MLA for West Van Sea to Sky. And we have MLA Doug Bing and MLA Mark Dalton here as well. Most importantly, however, we are very pleased to welcome the Raymond family here. Very pleased that both Danielle and Julie Raymond were able to join us for this important safety announcement. I'm very pleased to announce that today that the BC government is changing the way we regulate licensing for limousines in British Columbia. And this, again, is all about improving safety for those who use limousine services. With the changed regulations that we're moving forward with, all vehicles with the primarily perimeter seating, such as stretch SUVs and limo-type buses, will now be required to have a special authorization license. Now, this will include the specialty vehicles that deliver so-called party bus services. Previously, these party bus-type vehicles were operated under what was called a general authorization license, and this was quite a flexible license. It enabled these operators to set their own rates, to work anywhere in the province, unfettered, and to add vehicles to their fleet at any time with very little oversight. With the changes that we're moving forward with here today, operators will now have to be approved by the Passenger Transportation Board, which is an independent tribunal, for a special authorization license. The board sets terms and conditions on each license, such as areas of operation and fleet size, and regulates rates. There will now be a much more extensive review process, a fitness review process of all party bus operators prior to those operators receiving licenses. And the board can also initiate fitness reviews of operators at any time, and they certainly intend to do so. This will mean an increased level of scrutiny for these party bus vehicles, including those operators who may be targeting underage patrons and who may be allowing illegal activities in their vehicles, such as the consumption of alcohol. This will also discourage fly-by-night operators. The new regulation will create a level playing field in the industry so that everyone in the limousine industry is treated equally. By establishing a single regulatory licensing scheme, industry will be more accountable, and this will result in improved safety for passengers and the general public. The requirement for a special authorization license also means that the Passenger Transportation Registrar will now have information on all vehicles operating under the authority of the license, and will know exactly where those vehicles are operating. Presently, the only data that we have on these operators is the master license that they have for all of the vehicles in their fleet. We will now know exactly where each and every one of their vehicles is operating, and each and every vehicle will require a plate. All special authorization vehicles must display this unique license plate that makes them much more identifiable, helping with auditing and other policing and enforcement measures. Now, local police and commercial vehicle safety and enforcement officers will be able to easily identify the vehicles by the passenger transportation license plate, which will need to be visible at all times. And behind me is an example of the type of license plate that will need to now be on each and every vehicle in a party bus operator's fleet. And if a company is not operating within the law, it may be deemed unfit, and their license will be suspended or canceled. There are also stiff fines that are available to or that are attached to the special authorization license if there is non-compliance. For example, offering a service not allowed under the license, such as providing alcohol or condoning the use of alcohol, can result in an $1,150 fine. That's under the Passenger Transportation Act. And, of course, there are many fines under the Liquor Control and Licensing Act, including a minor, permitting a minor to consume alcohol under your control. That's a $575 fine. Possessing open liquor in a motor vehicle is a $230 fine. Consumption or possession of alcohol by a minor is a $230 fine. There is also a fine under the Passenger Transportation Act, which is a failure to carry a copy of the passenger transportation license or to properly display the required license plate. That's a $288 fine. So we will be vigorously enforcing these administrative penalties, these fines, as well as moving forward with the suspension and potential cancellation of licenses if any operators are deemed to not be be fit. Existing operators of these vehicles with perimeter seating will have until May 1st of this year to have their special authorization license approved by the board. New operators will have to obtain this new special authorization license immediately. The board has developed a streamlined application package to deal with applications as quickly as possible. We want to make sure that all of the operators that wish to move forward with this new license and continue therefore operate, that they are able to do so and have their license in place by May 1st, well before the oncoming graduation season. New operators intending to use vehicles with primarily perimeter seating, again, must apply for the special authorization license immediately. So in conclusion, I want to say this. A graduation season is coming, and these changes will be in effect before this year's celebrations are underway. I want to reiterate that despite the term party bus, allowing or consuming alcohol in any type of vehicle in British Columbia is illegal. It's an offense here in our province. There have been many comparisons with Washington State and certain measures that Washington State is potentially considering. I think it's a very important point to understand that in Washington State, one can actually obtain a permit to consume alcohol in a party bus type vehicle. That is not the case in British Columbia. It is illegal to consume alcohol in a vehicle in British Columbia. I am very confident, our Premier is very confident, our government is confident that the changes we're announcing today, which is all about safety and accountability, is going to significantly improve the limousine industry, and again, is going to ensure that passengers, particularly our kids in the upcoming grad season, that they're able to travel safely, continue to have fun, but to do so in a safe manner should they choose to involve party buses in their festivities. So with that, I would like to now take an opportunity to ask Don Zarowski, again, the Chair of the Passenger Transportation Board, to please come forward and say a few remarks.
Well, thank you, Mr. Minister. Today is a good day in the passenger transportation industry in the province of B.C. The changes that you, your ministry, and our government has made to the current regulatory regime is certainly an improvement. We have heard almost since the inception of the Passenger Transportation Act that there has been something other than a level playing field for SA, special authorization license holders and general authorization license holders. There's a difference and a lack of parity in the privileges of holding those licenses. And today this change has been requested for a long time. It's great to see you've moved on that, and that the bar is being moved up for license holders of perimeter seating limousine license holders in the province of BC. We look forward to moving forward with that. It'll cause the rates to be for both type of, or for what was a GA license holder to operate under SAs, for the rate structures to be common, and that parity will need to be in place by May 1. It's also important to to communicate that the application deadline for the current general authorization license holders to comply is March 25th. So the sooner they get their application in, the sooner we can get on with processing those applications. This will be celebrated by a lot of the limousine industry, some of them that are making application and have been flexible with how they've operated will find the need to comply and work to a higher standard will not be as welcome, but it'll generally be good news for users of their services in the province of British Columbia. Again, I certainly want to thank the minister, the ministry, and the government of British Columbia for moving on this. It is an improvement, and the Pastor Transportation looks forward to taking up the work that is in front of us and working with the branch on this as well. So thank you very much, Mr. Minister, Ministry, and the Government of BC. A good day in our view. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Don. Next up, I'm going to ask Danielle Raymond to come forward and say a few words. As you will all recall, the Raymond family was struck with tragedy a number of years ago. Danielle's sister lost her life in large part because of the lack of responsibility of a party bus operator. Since that time, she and her mother have very passionately and with unwavering conviction have done everything that they possibly could to raise this issue within all levels of government. And while it's taken a little bit of time, I'm very pleased that we were able to make the changes finally to improve the safety, improve the accountability, and therefore the safety of the party bus industry. And a huge amount of that credit, the lion's share of that credit, goes to the Raymond family. So Danielle, would you like to say a few words?
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, and thank you to Minister Stone and everybody that's standing behind me. Thank you to my mom. Minister Stone is right when he said that this was a very long journey. It was a frustrating journey. It was an emotional journey. I wish that I didn't have to make it. I wish that my sister was here. Sorry, I didn't plan on being emotional for this. This is a really big day, and also like Minister Stone said, this is about safety. Safety should be a non-negotiable for everybody, but especially for kids. Kids are going to make mistakes. My sister made a mistake. She should not have had to pay for her life for that mistake. That's what happened, and my mom and I, we never stopped fighting because we saw that something was wrong with the way that party buses were running and were allowed to run, and I think that what's been announced here today is a fantastic first step. I don't know that it'll get us all the way there, but I think that it is a very good move, and we are just so full of appreciation for everybody who supported us and encouraged us in the last several years that we've been campaigning for this. So once again, thanks to my mom, thanks to Mrs. Stone, thank you to everybody else who supported us and encouraged us, because there's been quite a lot of people and we could not have done this without them. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Danielle. Very, very poignant. And as Danielle said, this is an important step that we're taking here today. We think it's going to significantly improve the accountability and the safety of party bus operators, as well as leveling the playing field across the entire limousine industry in British Columbia. I certainly know and expect that the Raymonds are going to keep a close eye on this as we move forward, and we'll hold us all to account when we say that these changes are going to improve safety. So, again, thank you so much for being here. Thank you to everyone, the CBSC, the law enforcement, my MLA colleagues, the Passenger Transportation Board, the Passenger Transportation Branch. Today really is a good day for safety within the party bus industry. I'd be very happy to answer any questions at this point.
Can you say why did it take so long to get to this point?
The wheels of government don't often move as quickly as one would like. I've been at this job for just under 2 years, and I come out of the private sector 15 years as a software CEO, and I still struggle at times with the pace sometimes on some issues, this being one of them. But what I can tell you is that, you know, through the many meetings that that we've had with the Raymonds, others who have been keenly interested in this, in seeing improvements made here, including MLAs Doug Bing and Mark Dalton, we think all agreed from the outset that change needed to take place, that there needed to be greater accountability. It was finding that path towards the achievement of that, which has taken some time. But we are here today. These changes will be in place in time for the upcoming graduation season. And you know, I think that bodes very well for safety for all of our kids who are going to be out celebrating their graduations in only a matter of months. If they choose to utilize party bus operation, they're going to have a heightened expectation that operation is going to be safer than it was yesterday.
Is there anything actually changed in terms of enforcement? Do you see police checking out, say, stopping party buses and using more border drinking? Is that increases
the changes that we're announcing today? We've extensively consulted with law enforcement, and what we heard, frankly, consistently from law enforcement was, provide us with better tools. Provide us with better means to actually identify these party operators, to track where they are, to track how many vehicles they have in their fleet, which regions they're able to operate in. Provide us with these tools so that we can do a better job of tracking and enforcing these operators. We believe that the changes that we're making here today provide those much stronger tools for law enforcement to do the great job that they do. And they are out there. We, year after year, particularly at grad season and in the Christmas season, there's a very good partnership that comes together between law enforcement, ICBC, the Ministry of the Attorney General, as well as the Ministry of Transportation, where we all work together from an education and awareness perspective, as well as coordinated enforcement activities. So we will certainly see that similar type of effort come together in the next couple months as we approach the grad season.
Minister, I don't want to put words in George Heeman's mouth, but no doubt he'll speak to us later and say he asked you questions about this exact issue earlier this week, and it seemed that at the time you weren't committed to making any changes. Has anything changed over the last few days, I guess, or were you not sort of telling the whole story when he asked you that question?
Well, actually, if you go back and look at the transcripts, what I actually said was, we are working on some changes, which we have been. These kinds of changes take some time. There's a tremendous number of stakeholders that we needed to consult. We wanted to make sure we got it right. There are certain approvals required within government before you have the green light to move forward on substantive change like this. I didn't have those approvals, and we weren't done our consultations on the fine details of these changes a few days ago. But I'm very pleased that we were able to get the job done and announce the changes here today.
Okay. Can I ask questions from Mrs. Reynolds?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's all totally
yeah, absolutely. Thank you, though.
You mentioned that it's a good first step, but it might not bring you all the way there. What more would you like to see?
When we met with Minister Stone, I believe it was a number of months ago now, anyway, this was part of what we had discussed, tightening up these regulations. I don't know that this will fix, because part of the problem was these were definitely, what this speaks to today was definitely part of the problem that my mom and I felt was, you know, causing the problem anyway. I don't know how much of this will help in situations where you have a bunch of, my belief personally, and I've done some anecdotal research on local companies and on the internet, is that these party buses are basically, their whole business operates around facilitating minors who use them as a space to get hammered, for lack of a better term. So I think that this will, I think that these changes are definitely part of what needed to happen, what was really important. One of the other things that my mom and I have been campaigning for is considering putting a chaperone on board party buses. And what Mr. Stone said about Washington State is correct. You are allowed to drink on board these vehicles in Washington State if you're of the age of majority. The problem that they have down there is they'll get a mixed bag of ages, so you'll have a big group of kids, some of whom are 21, some of whom are not, and they'll all be drinking. So that's why they've come in with the chaperone bill that they're looking at. California has a bill already. There's some other places down in the state that are looking at doing the same thing. So that's something that we've suggested would be a place to go. I don't know how much of that is going to happen after this. I suspect I'm giving you way more than what you asked, but I suspect that
like to see a chaperone.
Pardon?
You would like to see?
I'd like to definitely see that being a consideration if this doesn't kind of solve the problem. There's always going to be people who are going to do their own thing and who are going to have the kids in the back drinking. I think this will definitely cut down on some of that. I have a tendency to go on. If you ask me a question, you'll probably get a 5-minute answer.
I know you mentioned all the rules and regulations. We've seen a number of tragedies. Are you able to provide some examples of how what you're doing today will prevent tragedies where, you know, people have fallen out of buses, people have had alcohol incidents? Like how will this help prevent that?
Well, so there are presently two different types of licenses that are available to limousine operators. There's the general authorization and there's a special authorization. The general authorization is much more flexible and it tends to be for vehicles that have 11 and fewer passenger capacity. There's one annual fee that is paid from a license perspective by the operator to cover all, regardless of how many vehicles they have in their fleet. There's no limitations on where they can operate their vehicles from a regional perspective, and there's no regulation of the rates. As well, on the special authorization side, which is where we're moving the party bus industry, it's much more tightly regulated. So, for example, as a special authorization, in order to get a license to begin with, you have to go through a very rigorous fitness test. And there are declarations that have to be signed, that make very, very clear that you understand you're not to serve minors, or you're not to serve alcohol, period. You don't have to allow alcohol on your vehicles. There's all kinds of other standards of fitness that the operators have to attest to. And there's a requirement the possibility for ongoing fitness requirements attached to the SA license that will enable ongoing checks. So if for example, and this, Danielle has done a great job on this issue over the years. She, for example, has pointed out in the past that a web page that she's printed off the internet of a party bus operator where there were clearly people drinking in the pictures, and it's like they're advertising for coming. Use our services and you can bring your own booze or we'll provide it for you. And that kind of evidence in the context of the declaration that the operator has previously signed indicating that they will not do that, it provides all the evidence that would be needed by the passenger transportation branch to either impose fines, and I listed off a number of fines earlier, or to suspend the license. Now, from a law enforcement perspective, the special authorization license, as I said earlier, requires a license plate to be posted and visible on each and every single vehicle. A fee has to be paid for that per vehicle. And there are restrictions that are determined by the Passenger Transportation Board as to where those operators can actually operate on a regional basis and how much they're allowed to charge. So there's a tremendous amount of opportunity here now, both on the license administrative side as well as on the enforcement side, to ensure that the shady operators, the fly by the seat of your pants operators, those operators that have in the past flaunted the expectations that we all have of them, that will not be able to happen anymore. And law enforcement have said they like what they see in terms of these tools, in terms of tracking and enforcing the provisions.
Thank you.